Good evening, and welcome to the Dice and Dreary podcast. Tonight, we meet our heroes and begin the 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons adventure, Curse of Strahd. I'm Jeff, the Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by two adventurers.
I am Crethan Demethir. Well, I am a human ranger, and I have to say that I'm excited to be here with people.
I am a gnome artificer. I go by the handle Sprocket, and I enjoy building tiny little trinkets and automatons and making stuff work.
Tonight's episode is Death House. Sprocket, as you're traveling, trying to find your caravan, to as far as you know, they're your way home. You approach this tower, and as you approach, I think, Crethan, would you definitely hear someone approaching?
Well, that's not ridiculously unusual, but I would definitely want to figure out what sort of creature it is.
Well, you see Sprocket. You see a gnome that appears to be looking for his way.
Ah, okay.
I'm a short little chap wearing a leather trench coat, a spiffy Stetson style hat, and just kind of strolling up, looking around at everything. Really, kind of like a bird, just not being able to settle on one thing.
Well, I'm always excited to meet new gnomes, and so I call out to him. Hey, hi.
Hello. Oh, hey. Hello there. What is this building?
This is what I call Teriendrimdom, which is a word I made up for it, because I don't know. It seemed like it was important at one point. You know, I always thought that maybe it was a place for great pilgrimages, but no one's come by to see it, so I don't think that's true. I'm Crethan.
Ah, they call me Sprocket.
Ah. Hello, Sprocket.
Hello. Pleased to meet you.
As you guys have this conversation and in introductions, it is getting late, and it's getting a bit chilly. There's a fog kind of rolling in. Are you guys taking shelter in this area or heading off to set up camp somewhere else?
Well, Sprocket, you're very welcome to stay here with me.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you.
All right, so how sheltered is your area?
There's a little bit of remains of the wall on the sides of that tower, but the tower itself is normally the best cover for at least wind, but definitely not rain.
Okay, so I think you kind of set up a little camp and have dinner, you drift off to sleep. This fog has been coming in tighter and tighter around. As you kind of drift off into this deep, dreamless slumber, it almost seems like you've closed your eyes, both of you, like the moment you've drifted off to sleep, you're suddenly awake again. It's morning, but it's not very bright out, but the light is very gray, and there's just a dense fog all around you. But what you find odd, Crethan, is the few of the trees, they don't look like the trees that are normally out around you.
Sprocket, something's definitely wrong here.
Oh, why do you say that?
This does not look at all like I'm used to, I would expect in the morning. It's not just the fog. This place it's different. Something's happened. I want to make sure that my weapons are nearby.
Do you think we were transported or something?
Like with magic?
Ah, magic.
Do you have magic?
No, I don't have magic. Magic is... Bah! I renounce magic. I can create anything we need.
I gotta tell you, I was kind of hoping at this moment that you had magic. That's all right. That's all right. We'll do fine. Isn't that right, Bear Grun?
What do you need magic?
Because something is wrong here.
I don't see anything wrong.
Everything looks turned around. These aren't the trees. This isn't the you can only see, you know, 10, maybe 15 feet through the fog, but the landscape doesn't look correct. And it's also eerily quiet. You don't hear any signs of the life that you would normally hear in a forest.
I'm going to string my bow and go ahead and knock an arrow.
Okay.
Oh, weapon. Are we pulling weapons out? Oh, I guess I can do that.
Yeah, it says Sprocket realizing that there's danger, that might be danger about for the first time. As you kind of knock your arrows and kind of shuffle about with your stuff, you notice that the sound seems to carry much further than normally would. You see, just every noise you make in this silence seems to be just deafening.
Sprocket, do you trust me?
I have no reason not to. What an odd question.
Good. Wait just a moment.
What are we waiting for?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
You hear your voice just kind of echo off in the distance.
Hello? Because I think that's what we're doing. So.
Yeah, yours too.
That was a good one. I know this land like the back of my hand, and this is not right. Let's go investigate.
After probably about 10 or 15 minutes of kind of exploring around, you find what clearly has to be a dirt road through this forest.
Yeah, see, we found the road. All is well.
Yes, there's just one problem. There was no road here. We've hit one of those magical transporter things you were talking about, apparently. Do you know how to untransport?
Nah, I would have to build something. And I don't think I have their materials.
Oh, goodness, Beargarn.
Well, do you have a wagon?
No.
Oh, well.
I have a bag.
A wagon would be helpful.
Hmm. Well, Sprocket, I'm not one to wait around and let the mysteries go on around me.
Then let us be off.
To the right or to the left?
We should go that way.
We go that way.
All right. To the right it is. As Sprocket just kind of like, we should go, and he stomps his foot and points that way. And you guys just begin walking to the right. And you spend a few hours walking down this path. You have, you know, your equipment packs on you. And through the entire time, there's not a single sound coming from the forest around you. But it is just a dense forest that just seems to grow higher and higher, almost like you are descending into some kind of valley. The road opens up, and you've been traveling maybe, it's probably about late afternoon. The fog has never lifted or burned off, and the sun never really seemed to fully rise. It was always just kind of a gray, stormy early morning. And you've heard some rumbling thunder, like a storm's approaching. And as you travel down this road, it begins to, you know, rain. You notice through the fog, a building seems to emerge. And as you kind of make your way up the road, you see that there's actually three buildings in this little estate tucked away off the road a bit. And it looks, from the looks back here, it looks rather abandoned. It does not look like like anyone lives here. But it does look like it provides some good shelter.
Is it always gloomy in this land?
Seems so.
Well, you're from here. You should know.
I am not from here. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
That was a good hello.
You don't see any movement. You don't see it. Everything just seems quiet and vacant.
Is there one of these buildings that appears to be like the main house?
There is a single building that stands four stories tall, but it's very narrow. It looks like a manor. To the right of it is a dilapidated building that looked like it once was a stable of some kind. And to the left of it are smaller buildings that you would assume, if this from the size of this estate, were probably servants' quarters. But both of those buildings look in rough shape. They were, you know, made of wood and are rotting away a bit. The estate is made of stone and seems to still be intact.
Perhaps we should seek shelter here? The storm might be bad.
I think so. Take a look around. As we get closer, does it appear that there's that this has not been occupied for a while? Can I see any signs of anything?
Give me a perception check, the both of you. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Well, with that roll, I definitely don't have it.
Yes. You're sitting there talking to yourself like, how I can't understand what I'm even looking at. What's going on here? As Sprocket, you survey the area and kind of make your way up the path. And what you see is the two dilapidated buildings. And you see this estate kind of standing in the middle of it. And as you approach, the estate actually kind of looks in decent condition considering how the other two buildings look. At the very front of it, there's a path that kind of leads up to an iron gate that's shut. And beyond that is just a little kind of foyer entrance before there's two large mahogany doors.
Hello?
Well, I say we go knock on the door.
I think so.
There must be someone here.
Yeah, as you say, you head up to this door and Crethan, again, shouts, "Hello!" And as you get close to the gate, you hear like a little sobbing sniffle from behind, like the sound of like a child kind of like sniffling and sobbing a little bit. And you turn around, and you're met to two children standing behind you. An older little girl and a little boy who's holding on to a little stuffed bear, and he's kind of sniffling and crying. And the girl says, "Will you help us?"
"Oh, hello, little people. What seems to be troubling you?"
"There's a monster in our house."
"A monster?
What kind of monster?"
"A very scary one. Mommy and Daddy went down in the basement to go fight the monster, but they didn't come back. I think they're still down there." And the little boy is just crying. He's just like, he's like too young to talk. Or he could talk, but he's very shy and just like crying.
"What does this monster look like?"
We don't know. We weren't ever allowed."
"How long ago did they go inside?"
They kind of like look at each other confused. The older girl shrugs. "We don't know. We heard a terrible noise. We were supposed to stay upstairs, and we heard a terrible noise, and so we ran. We ran outside, but we forgot our little brother, Walter. Can you go check on Walter?"
"And where is Walter?"
"He's upstairs in the nursery. He's our new baby brother."
How do we get to the nursery?"
The little girl points at the front gate of the house. It's in there, up on the third floor."
"Very well. We should go check on this Walter."
"This seems..."
"What's very, going on, Crethan?"
"Very concerning to me.
Every part about this is screaming trap to me. But to Sprocket, he wouldn't have any clue, so he'd be all for it."
I'm thinking that Crethan would be a little bit more suspicious.
Do you want to roll me an insight check to see if you believe them? See if they seem to be on the level. And yes, you can tell from their tone of voice and the way the little boy is sobbing that these children seem to be legitimately terrified of whatever's in that house.
All right. Is any of the other buildings secure enough? Do they look secure enough that they can take shelter in the storm?
Yeah, the stable looks to just, the stable being the simplest of the two seems to just have kind of like some shelter, a roof over it in the corner that's still standing. The other side is collapsed, but it looks like it'll hold. And the other building is just kind of gutted and the no roof at all, so it's just open to the air above. But they head over and huddle, like as you kind of lead them over, and huddle up underneath the shelter there as the rain starts to get a little stronger.
Gotcha. I'll offer him some food.
Okay.
Do I have any food?
Do you have any rations? I think you do. You can mark off one ration and give it to him.
I will pull out from one of my pockets a small mechanical device that winds up, and it's basically just a couple of circular discs that spin and orbit each other when you set it on the ground after winding it up.
Like a little trinket for them?
Yeah, like a little toy type thing.
Sprocket, is that a transporter?
No.
Okay. It's worth a try.
So, yeah, the...
All right, Berger.
The little boy, he seems to be interested in it and like looking at the little toy. And you guys head over to the house. And you see that the gate, the iron gate, isn't fully closed. It's kind of open slightly. And as you give it a tug and open, and it screeches with just like ancient rust as it pulls open. And you're met with these two mahogany doors in front of you. These heavy double wooden doors.
All right. Well, I think there goes the element of surprise with that screeching gate.
No matter.
I will try the door.
All right. It opens up right away. And you walk into a dark room that's kind of, it seems from the light spilling in from the outside, you can kind of see that this seems to be some sort of entrance hall. It's only about 15 feet by 10 feet wide. It's just a hall. It's literally a hallway, but on your right side on the wall, the wall there, there is a shield emblazoned with a coat of arms, which shows a stylized golden windmill on a red field. And it's flanked on either side by portraits of two stony-faced aristocrats. You see on the right side, there's a picture of a very stoic-looking man. And to the next of him is a painting of a little child who looks like the little boy that you saw outside. On the left side, you see, a very stoic-looking older woman. And next to her is the little girl, a painting of the little girl that you saw out there. This seems to be their home. And underneath the coat of arms, it says the Dursts. At the other end of this room is another set of doors, these ones with stained glass in them. Are you pressing on inward?
I would like to take a look at the shield.
Okay, nothing, what are you looking for?
Nothing specific. It's just the family crest kind of interests me.
Yeah, give me
a windmill and all.
Give me a perception roll or an investigation.
Investigation.
That would be good. Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
You just investigated the heck out of that 22. Thing.
you see this shield with the red, it's a red field with a windmill on it. And examining all these photos, you see that it's not just a dark kind of black background behind each of them, but it's actually a very dark landscape. And behind the older gentleman, you see kind of like dark hills behind him, and there's a tiny little windmill in the field in the corner behind him.
Ah, this looks interesting.
Yeah. We saw no windmill outside.
No.
Okay.
I wonder what this could mean.
Do we hear anything?
All you hear is the sound of kind of the rain starting to come down and hit the windows, that tapping on the rain on windows. It's just, that's the only noise that seems to be coming from inside this place.
No baby crying.
No baby, just silence.
I was telling Sprocket, no baby crying.
Oh, is that normal? Do babies cry?
You're a heck of an investigator, Sprocket, but yes, if that baby's been separated from his mother for as long as it appears, he should be crying.
Perhaps it is sleeping.
It's unlikely. I will get my bow ready.
You head to these stained glass door, double doors, and open them. They kind of give a faint creaking as they open up. into what you would assume is a main hall. You could see a fireplace off to your left, straight ahead. There's some more doors that seem to lead off into other rooms. And to your right, there's a large red marble spiral staircase that's kind of curving up towards the next floor. It's all dark through here. And as you kind of step into the room, from behind you, you hear the kind of click of the two mahogany doors shutting. And then you hear the of the gate closing from outside.
Hmm. I turn around to, I kind of jerk my head around, pulling an arrow.
Okay, yeah, looking back, you don't see anyone shutting these doors. The doors just seem to be shutting.
Okay. I would immediately start looking for some sort of trigger mechanism.
Okay, give me an investigation check on that one.
23.
You don't find anything. It seems to be just a normal looking door.
Well, we didn't trip anything.
In this main hall, you see that it's all wood paneled walls that are ornately sculpted with images of vines and flowers and nymphs and satyrs. There's a hardwood floor that's beautifully oiled. Everything in this main hall area is immaculate. It looks well kept, well taken care of. It does not match the outside at all. Crethin, as you're kind of heightened, your heightened state right now, looking around this room, you catch a glimpse of a close glimpse of the walls that are, they have these wooden, beautiful wood carvings in them. You look closer and you see very inconspicuously hidden into the carving of these vines and nymphs and flowers, you see serpents and skulls that are just kind of woven into the design that up close look very sinister. But from afar, everything looks just like a beautiful, ornate woodcut wall.
Do you see this, Sprocket? I'm starting to think that Mommy and Daddy are playing with the baddies.
Now that you pointed out to me, huh, this is an interesting decoration choice.
And as you're kind of investigating this and looking closer, you both get this, there's this sense, the smell of just like that sickly sweet kind of decay smell coming from the east.
You smell that?
Yes, I do.
Smells like a dead dude.
I have a feeling you're right. Well,
let's check it out.
Let's check it out.
Sprocket suggests the door on the right.
All right. So you kind of listen to both of them as you're there. Listen. And to the north is where this smell is coming from. From behind this door, it just hangs in the air around it. It's just that kind of sweet but sick to your stomach smell.
Let's open it.
Who's opening the door? Which one of you?
I would take a look at the door.
whenever the DM asked that question.
So give me an investigation check on the door.
Well, it's kind of his nature anyway.
And you successfully find that there is nothing suspicious about this door. And Crethin, as the door creaks open, the smell of death just fills your nostrils as your torchlight scatters on a crystal chandelier, throwing refracted light everywhere on this very macabre scene below. The table is full of decaying party guests with their faces rotted and twisted in an unnatural horror, just sitting at this table. And you kind of startle and jump back. Give me a wisdom saving throw.
Saving throws, let me remember where those are.
So you stumble back. You stumble back, maintaining, you know, you're stand, you know, you don't fall to your feet or anything. You just stumble back in fright. And Sprocket, you see him kind of jump back from whatever he saw in this room, but you can't quite make out what's in the room yet.
Okay.
Crethin, Sprocket, what are you doing as you kind of have taken your step back?
I would immediately draw my weapons.
All right. And jeez. That's your thunder stick or whatever it is?
Actually, he has two of them.
Thunder sticks.
Thunder cannons?
Basically, you see him reach into his coat and whip out two handheld crossbows, but they don't seem to have the bow portion.
Nice.
You're not quite sure how they work, but...
Bowcasters. Nice.
Neither is he.
So, Crethin, do you share what you saw?
There's just bodies. There's something more going on here than we were told.
Bodies? Not like anything not living? Like, what are you afraid of?
Well, what I'm afraid of is we were not told about house guests being either in the house or dead.
Well, they were little people. What do you expect from them? Children, yes, that's it.
So...
Is one of you heading in?
I think I would be, yes.
Wait, before we go.
Yeah, so Sprocket steps forward and Crethin, you're like, wait.
Hold on. Yeah. We were told about two goals. Basement, where the parents went to fight, and little brother on the third floor. Now, something tells me the little boy is dead. But I'm somewhat inclined to go find that out.
Okay. I shut the door and start walking towards the stairs.
I like Sprocket.
All right. So you turn back towards the stairs, and Sprocket, you just begin walking up. Crethin, are you following?
Yes.
You do notice as you kind of turn and walk away that the smell is no longer present. It seems to have dissipated, if it could do that. And as you head back to the staircase and head up, it's complete darkness up above. And what's your marching orders here? And we'll just assume these are the marching orders going forward. Kind of who's leading the pack?
Well, he went first, but I don't mind getting ahead of you.
Okay, if you want to kind of shoulder past me, I probably wouldn't even notice.
Well, yeah, and this is kind of where I'm picturing it. I'm kind of picturing Crethin kind of very, very cautiously looking around and then noticing all of a sudden Sprocket just, you know, getting on up the stairs and then realizing, oh, goodness, I need to be ahead of him. And kind of rushing up and getting just slightly ahead of him and then moving forward.
Okay, so yeah, you kind of head up the stairs to an upper hall area. And the walls up here are lined with unlit oil lamps. There's two suits of armor flanking a pair of doors on either side, the right and the left, and a fireplace on the far wall. And above the fireplace is a very large portrait. In this portrait, you see there is it's the family that you saw in the beginning, in the entranceway. You see the mother, the father, and the two children that are you met outside. And the father is holding a small child, a small baby. And then when you look upon close investigation of this, you notice that the child or the mother seems to kind of, you almost has a look of disdain towards the child. It's an odd thing to be painted in. And there's a little plaque underneath that says the Durst family, Gustav, Elizabeth, Rose, and Thorn Durst.
Wait.
There's only
four names, right?
Four names, but there are five subjects in the...
Gustav, Elizabeth,
who Gustav, Rose? Elizabeth, Rose, and Thorn.
Interesting.
I bet that baby's name is Root.
I thought it was Walter.
Did they give us the baby's name?
They said Walter, yes.
Walter, that doesn't fit the theme at all.
The this hall up here also has ornately wooden sculpted walls. These ones, it looks like people dancing, dancing youths and things.
I definitely want to take a closer look at those, at the walls, the carvings. And
I think yeah, that would the be both
of you. I'd be fascinated by the armor.
Okay, so the on the walls, we'll do Crethin first. On the walls, you see, upon closer examination, these dancing youths are actually fighting off swarms of bats that seem to be carved into the wood above them. And these suits of armor that you look at, Sprocket, they appear to be just very highly... Again, this room is immaculate in how it's kept up. And these are just well-oiled, decorative suits of armor that have wolves' heads for helmets. And then the doors on either side, and a small door at the top of the stairs, a very narrow, not shockingly narrow, just narrower than some of the main doors. And the staircase also continues upwards.
Well, they said Walter was on the third floor.
Right. So shall we go up?
I think so.
Let's do it.
All right. So you guys begin to walk up the stairs. And as you do, these stairs seem much creakier. As you're kind of taking each step, they seem to be creaking, unlike the stairs that were down below. And as you get about halfway up and you can kind of see up above, you're hit with the smell of dust. And you know, it seems like whatever's up above has not as well kept as below. And this is when you hear a door creak open from the floor just below you, the second floor. And looking back down, the door to the double doors to the north are now standing slightly open.
Hello?
We weren't doing that right now.
You're greeted with only silence.
This house has a path for us, but I'm not terribly inclined to take it. What about you?
This house is fascinating. Look at the artwork.
You hear another creak of a door as you kind of are on this stair landing looking to the north. And you glance over and see the door to the south is swinging open slowly. And it's just a dark room beyond it.
Perhaps if there are nefarious deeds at hand, it best not to have them behind us?
Yeah. I think you might be right. This is most definitely a trap, but at this point, I don't know that we have a choice.
I didn't see any traps.
Good. You keep looking. All right, so shall we investigate one of them?
I think that would be best.
Which one, north or south?
I'm going to kind of shoot my glance back and forth, obviously, coming through.
Sprocket points south.
Stands up.
Then we'll turn south.
Both rooms seem very dark. And as you kind of turn the corner into the south here, Crethin, leading the way with your torch, kind of sticking the torch in there, you hear what sounds like something scurrying across the floor. And from the back corner of this very large room, directly across from you, you see what looks like a harpsichord and two kind of glowing eyes reflecting off of the torchlight that you're casting into the room, but you can't make out what's underneath this harpsichord just watching you.
Okay, there's something there.
What do you see?
Just eyes reflecting in the torchlight.
Does dark vision help at all?
Yes. You see what looks to be a small dog kind of curled up and cowering underneath the harpsichord, just looking at you, not moving.
Ah, small animal. Is this one safe?
If we were in any other house, I would say yes.
Was one of you entering the room towards this animal?
Shall we go in or try to close these doors and go somewhere else?
I don't recognize the animal. Would it trouble us?
The animal's not what I'm worried about. The fact that the house wants us here is what worries me.
You speak such strange nonsense. How could a house want something?
That is my question as well, my friend. Let's go in.
Okay, as you cross the threshold into, you see that this is clearly some kind of music hall. There's a harpsichord where this, what you can clearly see now is a dog, a small Labrador underneath the piano. And there is a harp standing on the other, in the other corner, and chairs lining it. And as you approach this dog, give me an animal handling check if you are indeed approaching it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you put your hand out, you know, you do all the, you get down low with the dog, whisper some kind words to it, and it very cautiously takes a step or two out, kind of sniffs the air around you, and then realizes that you don't seem to pose any threat to it, and kind of walks on over and begins licking your hand and getting very close to you. This dog seems like it wants to stay with the both of you. And Sprocket, it comes up over to you, probably like right in your face because you're shorter than oh, you're almost like at its level. It starts licking you. It seems very happy that it's found you.
Well, we've made a friend at least.
Well, hello there.
I go over to the harpsichord and play Africa by Toto. I don't literally do that. Please don't spring a trap in the harpsichord.
I think I would certainly be investigating the harpsichord.
Yes. So you see, it's very finely made. It's a very, very fine, probably very expensive harpsichord, but it seems in very good condition.
Does he know what Sprocket, do you know what a harpsichord is?
I would say probably not, but I am fascinated by the design.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool machine. I'm sure you're going to get a kick out of it.
I'm poking my head in and playing with various things, trying to see how it works. And I probably start rambling about, ooh, if you look at this, this connects to here, and this would make some sort of noise like this, and basically just stream of consciousness.
So go ahead and give me an investigation. It will roll twice for you automatically, and they're both the same. So that was a 23.
I'm good with detail, not so much anything else.
You pick around in it, and as you kind of pluck a few of them, you know, pluck a few strings, hear some sounds, some notes ring out from it. And while you do that, you hear creaking in the floor as if someone was walking around. And as you look up and stop and look around, the room is empty. But it happens once more as you're kind of plucking at strings and making sounds in this piano. You hear what sounds like footsteps in this room.
Do I hear it?
Yes, both of you hear it, but you see nothing in this dark room. No one else but you two and the dog, who is kind of hiding behind you near the door.
Peregrin, what do you think?
Were you talking to the dog? What's the dog's name?
No, we haven't named the dog yet.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to Peregrin.
Who is Peregrin?
I'd rather not get into it.
Okay.
Now's not the time. There's something in here. So the footsteps are in the room with us.
It sounded like it when you were, the notes were being played, but it sounds silent now.
Could we tell if they were going in a certain direction or at a certain spot?
You couldn't. So you heard them from the far corner to the right of the fireplace.
Okay, so
I think I'd play a few more notes.
And I'm got my sword ready, looking in that spot.
Okay, so are you playing anything in particular? Do you want to try a performance check, or are you just playing like boom?
Just hitting random.
Okay, as you begin
play, play that little riff in Ghostbusters that Peter says chase away ghosts.
as you sit down and play, you do your little high note trill, there. You hear these footsteps again, and you can make out the faint forms of what appear to be a couple dancing. And as you stop playing, they fade away.
Did you see that, Crethan?
I heard it.
So then I would attempt to play something approximating music.
Okay, give me a performance check.
This should be good.
12. So you play like some simple songs, and as you do, there seems to be one couple, then two and three. It seems to be some sort of ghostly dance that's happening here as you play, and these spirits are paying no attention to you whatsoever. They are in their own world.
How many are there?
There's about three couples, but some one will disappear and another one will show up somewhere else.
And remind me, how many bodies did I see around the table downstairs?
Eight.
Do I see anything at the harpsichord or the harp?
The harpsichord, no. But around the harp, you see like a couple dancing kind of phase through it as if it wasn't there. Sprocket, what are you doing?
I walk over to the harp and start strumming it.
Okay, as you stop and then begin strumming on the harp, the same situation happens. These ghosts, and you can hear kind of just on the edge of your hearing, like the taps of their feet as they're dancing.
Okay, so while he's doing that, I'm going to go play on the harpsichord.
As you guys duet. Okay, why don't you give me one more performance? 16 for Crithan and a 12. Oh, I see. It's above there. And a 12. So, yeah, these ghosts just continue to swirl and dance around the room. As long as you're playing, they're there. As soon as you stop, they fade away, okay, paying no mind to either of you. The dog is outside of this room, by the way. It is looking cautiously inside.
Huh. Well, I, for one, have come to trust the instincts of animals. I say we take our leave.
All right, back out in the hall. You have the stairs up where you're headed, or the door to the north, which is partly open.
What is the dog doing?
The dog is just kind of sitting at your feet, looking at you, at the both of you, like in between you, looking back and forth.
Sprocket, what should we name him?
Well, now, perhaps Gizmo.
I'm going to go take a look inside the north room.
So looking in, what you see is a red velvet drapes that are covering windows on the other side of the room, and an exquisite mahogany desk and a matching high back chair facing the entrance and fireplace, above which hangs a framed picture of a windmill perched atop a rocky crag. Situated in the corners of the room are two overstuffed chairs. Floor to ceiling bookshelves line the east wall. And a rolling wooden ladder allows one to move more easily and reach the high shelves. And you can see this desk is kind of covered with several items on top of it. An oil lamp, a jar of ink, quill pen, office stuff. And the bookshelves are filled with books. Again, this room immaculately clean and kept, and floors well oiled. And you
know. What is with this family and windmills?
I take a look at the windmill picture.
All right. Give me an investigation on that windmill.
Ooh, 7.
Oh, I should not have mentioned his great rolls.
That would be a crit fail.
A 7. You don't make out anything of interest.
Even a windmill.
Yeah. It looks like just a rocky crag to you.
I've seen it before.
Crethan, what are you doing?
I am taking a look at the books, see if anything jumps out at me, both figuratively and literally.
Okay, give me an investigation check. So as you're kind of going through these books, you see a lot of them covering a range of topics. You see history, warfare, alchemy, just what you would expect to find in a wealthy person's library.
Got it.
Near the end of the little hall to the north, in the narrow bookshelf, there's one book that doesn't have doesn't have any markings whatsoever on it. And you give it a pull, and the whole bookshelf seems to click, like unlatch, and it seems to swing free like a door.
What's Gizmo doing?
Gizmo, I think, is over by Sprocket, just like out in the bigger room in general, kind of like doing dog stuff, sniffing things, walking around.
Okay.
Gizmo seems to be very, very at ease now that he's with people.
Did I see what Crescent caused to happen?
No, he's back in a little bookshelf. You heard the click of something, like you heard him do something back there, but you can't see him.
Okay, just hearing the noise wouldn't have registered with me. So I would like to check out the desk.
Okay, so before you open that, Crethin, Sprocket at the desk, you see that there is typical desk stuff all on it. You open the drawers, everything seems to be just perfectly placed in there. There's paper in drawer and envelopes and more pens and inks. It just seems like this was a very organized man. You see the Durst family insignia, which you now know to be a windmill, that's on the on one of the drawers on the right side, and opening it, you find an iron key, and that's the only thing that's in that drawer.
I have to grab that.
All right, make a note that you've got an iron key with you. And Crethin, as you open up this door here, you kind of cautiously push it open. Inside, you see what seems to be a very small closet-sized area. There are bookshelves on either side of it with dusty books on it. And about 10 feet in, as deep as it goes, there is a chest that is half open and a almost skeletal at this point. Body of a dwarf in leather armor kind of hunched over the chest, like head inside of it, but the lid cracked open kind of, but on top of him. And you just see, it just seems a very old, decrepit skeleton in this, hanging out of this chest and some books along the bookshelves. What do you do?
Sprocket, you might want to see this as I kind of lean in and, you know, with my torch trying to take a look at the bookshelves and keep an eye on things.
So I kind of trot over. What have you found?
As you kind of both peer in and you see this, Crethin, you see the books in here, these dusty tomes, have titles that seem to suggest necromantic rituals, a cult called the Priests of Osibis. There just seems to be black magic tomes in here, things on how to summon demons and fiends. And Sprocket, you, your lower angle, you can kind of see into the chest that this decaying skeleton that was once a dwarf is hanging over. And you could see there seems to be some sort of mechanism underneath the lid of it.
Oh, my eyes immediately light up, and I rush over to investigate it.
Yeah, give me an investigation on this.
Hey, be careful.
10.
So, you take a look at it. You can kind of like poke at it with.
Of course, you're gonna poke at it.
Yeah, you're like, come on. Poke at it, and then finally, you deem it to be safe, and you lift open the lid, and there is a thump noise as you get
as
blasted.
Crescent dies.
You get blasted, and it you feel something like hit you in the chest, and you kind of are shocked for a moment before you realize that it's just air from an empty dart hole in the back of the chest that fired. Had there been a dart in here, you know, you would have had one right to the chest, but it luckily it was empty, and the chest now open.
Well, this is interesting.
You can see that the skeleton who's hanging over it is clearly triggered the trap. There is a decayed, old, rusty dart in its chest. Clutched in the skeleton's left hand is a letter that's bearing a very strange seal on
windmill?
It. No, not a windmill. You also see that there are three books in the bottom of this chest. Three little scroll tubes. And there seems to be just some other letters kind of like folded up and stacked, you know, like important documents in this chest.
I think I would be distracted for a brief time checking out the trap mechanism.
Okay. I feel, so like, Sprague, you're just, you kind of pull this stuff out and just kind of set it behind you as like you're, you know, getting the stuff out of the chest to investigate the chest closer.
Exactly.
Crethan, as you kind of are glancing through it, which do you pick up first? Are you looking at these books, the letter, the scrolls, or some of the important documents?
Okay, well, I think the first thing I'm looking at is that you said the dwarf was basically skeletal by now?
Yes.
Okay.
Rotting leather armor, the basically bones with some, you know, the last remains of like decaying flesh or stretching it over it, keeping it together.
I'm beginning to think that whatever happened here happened a very long time ago. I'm starting to think that whatever was summoned using these books, which means that this unfortunate dwarf was here after the monster came. What that means, I don't know yet.
He was clearly killed by this trap.
Yes.
Amateurish though it may be, it is effective.
Thank you, Sprocket. I'm going to take a look at the scroll.
Magic is a thing in this world. You would know about it. You might not know what type of magic it is, but they definitely look like magic scrolls. There are three of them here. And you can investigate them with an arcana check to see if you can identify what scrolls they are.
Okay. And I have the scrolls, right? Or does he?
You do, because he put all the stuff behind him.
Right.
It was okay, in my way.
So I'll investigate it. Boom.
Ooh, look at that.
Not only identify those scrolls, but all the scrolls in the world.
All the scrolls. You know that these are three spells. Bless, protection from poison, and spiritual weapon. How spell scrolls work, as long as your class could cast them, you can use them. Looking through the rest of this stuff here, you see that the books are blank. They appear to be quality. What's that?
I can cast protection from poison.
There you go. So you got it. You can use that scroll at any time, and that is like casting a spell. It is instant. The blank, the books, they are blank. They appear to be of the quality that one would make a spell book out of. And in that leaves left the letter, the Raven Crest on it, or the important looking documents that are kind of put away in a little folder.
Well, I'm gonna I want to take all of this.
Okay.
But protection from poison scroll, since I know I can use it, I'd like to kind of keep in a place that's kind of handy, you know, under my belt or something.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And so once I do that, if Sprocket's still fiddling, I'll take a look at the letter next.
You open the letter, and I actually have a handout with the letter for you here. It says, "My most pathetic servant, I am not a messiah sent to you by the dark powers of this land. I have not come to lead you on a path to immortality. However many souls you have bled on your hidden altar, however many visitors you have tortured in your dungeons, know that you are not the ones who brought me to this beautiful land. You are but worms writhing in my earth. You say you are cursed, your fortune spent. You abandoned love for madness, took solace in the bosom of another woman, and sired a bastard son. Cursed by darkness, of that I have no doubt. Save you from your wretchedness? I think not. I much prefer you as you are, your dread lord and master, Strahd von Zarovich." Thanks for listening to the Dice and Dreary podcast. For more episodes, check out diceanddreary.com. Some of the audio and sound effects in this recording are courtesy of Sirenscape. Check them out at www.sirenscape.com.